Welcome once again. We are on location at In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Unfortunately, Char did not have an opportunity to make a trip with me, but I am back here again speaking with one of our favorite guests, Jan Meyer, and we will have a little bit of background noise that just cannot be helped because we are again at the at your home church, and we're in Sherburn, Minnesota today. Welcome back, Jan.
Hi, Kelly. It's so much fun doing this.
It is. Well, we try to do one each season. I think we did a spring one, we did a summer one, and here we are in the fall. And we are standing here at this. How old is this garden, Jan?
Oh, dear. It's inscribed on the cement by the gazebo. It was in memory of our pastor's wife, Rosa. And it's inscribed in the cement, so we'd have to go over there and look and see. I can't remember. It's been maybe 7-8 years ago.
Well, we will check on that once we get to the gazebo. What we're going to do is we're going to take a meander down the path. And if you think about 7 or 8 years ago, or however long that was, we are at the corner on a highway, on a busy highway, Highway 90, and the road that comes out of Sherburn. So we are at the crossroads of a lot of traffic. There's a truck stop across the street. There's gas stations and things like that. But here on the other corner, on the east corner, is a wonderful church that used to have basically just a grass field as your front yard, and it has blossomed literally into this wonderful tribute garden. What's your favorite thing in here?
What's my favorite thing? Oh my goodness. Oh, I can't name a favorite. No, I will go back. The hydrangea bushes. The hydrangea bushes are just outstanding. We've had so much rain this year, And the hydrangea bushes have just eaten it up, and they are so big and so many blooms. They're gorgeous.
Now, was that part of the original install?
Yes, it was. And I'll tell you a story about those hydrangea bushes. We wanted a hydrangea tree for my own personal garden. So we called a garden center in Mankato, and we said, do you have one of these? And they said, yes, we do, and they're on sale. So we said, okay, we are going to come right up, and we are going to get it. Jumped in the car, went there. It turned out that the hydrangea tree was not on sale. However, all of their hydrangea bushes, some of them up $40, all of them were on sale for $5 a piece. We came home with 23 hydrangea bushes, and a lot of these bushes are from that purchase.
So these are the hydrangeas, a lot of different kinds of hydrangeas, and Char would know, but I don't. But these are what I would call ice cream cone, because they look like they're a conical shy instead of like the traditional Annabelle or the big mop head, those kinds. These are much more upright. In fact, they kind of look like a firework going off.
Well, and as you look at them, now I'm 5'5". I think I'm 5'5". These are taller than I am, so they're probably 6.5 feet tall right now.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, it was the summer for them. But putting these together from a bare canvas, so you thought at the outset, and I think with anybody who is going to start from scratch, which is what you did. I mean, this literally was just grass and a very utilitarian style building, and frankly, except for some of the things outside, you know, the cross and a little bit of signage, there really wasn't much to designate it or differentiate it between that and another really business.
No, when people would talk about the Assembly of God Church over here, which is the regional worship center, they would say, you know, that building that looks like the warehouse off of the highway.
Yeah.
And that's what it did. It looked like a warehouse. It no longer looks like a warehouse.
No, you could never mistake that. In fact, speaking of houses, one of your lovely also offshoots of this is that you have two church type bird feeders located in the garden. I think that's wonderful.
Those are courtesy of Corey. He found those for me.
Well, he's one of your finders, and I think if you're going to do something like this, you have to have a team of people that, number one, find things, next, plant things, then the hard part comes, the maintenance.
I put in an awful lot of work over here. Like 2 weeks ago, I was over here for 4 days out of the 5, just deadheading and taking care of things, but it's open to the public, so I have to keep it much nicer than I would keep my own garden.
Okay, so when you've, other than the hydrangeas, did you have any other anchoring pieces? Because I think also people, if they stare at a blank space long enough, and they could make little sketches and put in maybe some favorites, but were there any other anchoring pieces that you knew that you would build around?
Actually, no. When we started, like Kelly has said, this was just the green lawn. And I will be honest with you, it was much easier to do this garden, put it together the way I wanted, because I was starting out fresh. And I could see it in my mind what I wanted it to look like. Whereas you already go into an established garden, you're moving things around, you're looking at it differently.
Yeah.
Where this one was much easier because I was starting fresh, there was nothing here. And I'm looking at it today, and it is so full, and the perennials have gotten bigger, and this is the prettiest it's ever been.
One thing, though, I will say, and I saw this many years ago at the start, one thing I think that's your signature is P-Rock for a gravel base. Now, that is here, but unfortunately, you've got the purlaine,
yeah,
that is creeping, but it's also, you can walk on it and it's still solid. I don't think there's anything worse than always having to fill. You've got a really good base coat. Do you know how many inches? 3-4 inches?
No, it's very narrow. There's probably only half an inch on here.
Okay.
Probably only half an inch. And as far as this little green, we have round upped it twice this year, and look at it again. It uh-huh. looks like a nice green carpet. But
so, and despite all of your maintenance, you're still going to get the outbreaks, outbreaks of the weeds and things, but the color is as I'm looking through here, the colors are just magnificent. Give us a few of the highlights of some of the, and we'll feature these photos too on our Facebook page.
Okay. One of the things I always put in my gardens is the blue salvia. It is a annual, but if you take and break off the dried ones, it self-seeds. Mm-hmm. It will come up again next year. But I put in new plants every year. That's my beautiful blue, and it matches so well with the purple phlox that comes up. I put in 12 plants of bubblegum.
Petunia.
Petunias. I put that in this year. And yellow being my favorite color, I always have to put in yellow. And it has just made the garden pop.
So you have the yellow marigold, and those are just a regular button kind of marigold. So you do have a few of the annuals in here, but a lot of it is perennial, and that keeps the cost down.
It certainly does. And as the years go by, you know, I divide everything up. In fact, last year I threw away probably more phlox than I saved. And the coneflower self-seeds. And it was taking over everything. So last fall when I was putting everything to bed, I probably dug out at least half of the coneflower and at least half of the phlox. Mm-hmm. And just discarded it because it was taking over. And, you know, I hate doing that. But at the same time, if you want to have a organized garden, you have to do that every once in a while.
Now you've got the flowering sedum, which is really wonderful, and a lot of people go with the Joe Pye weed. However, that is a lot taller. You have a similar blossoming flowers that turn from the green to the rose to the dusky pink as it matures, but it just gives it so much texture, and they're really rugged. You're at a west, lots of wind, as you could probably hear. Huge amount of wind, huge amount of direct sunlight, a huge amount of heat when there is some, but you benefit from the rain, you know, hopefully on a good year.
Yeah, we really do. We are, you know, when I plant my garden in the springtime, I get everything watered real well, and after that, it's on its own. We do not water at all during the summertime, and everything just seems to grow real well.
So, speaking of those anchors, and once again, we are here in Sherbourne, Minnesota, and I'm talking with Jan Meyer, and she is, of course, she's been with us before. She is the owner of Jan's Gazebo Garden in Fairmont, which is just down the road a piece from here, but we thought we'd come over and take a look at the First Assembly of God Church here, the Regional Worship Center here in Sherburn, and a labor of love that is also a memorial garden to people who were associated with this church and in honor of them. So there's a beautiful white gazebo in the middle. That's got to be a real focal point. When people see that as they come around the corner, they really take notice.
Yep. The pastor says that a lot of people come, they pull in off of the highway or they'll be across the street at the gas station, and they will pull over here, park, and walk through the garden and go sit in the gazebo, and pretty soon they're gone. But we get a lot of walk-in trade, mm-hmm. just people coming to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must give you a lot of satisfaction and make you feel very proud of the... there's been a couple of things that have really taken off. And tell me about some of these. Now, you've got some arborvitae here, too, some cedar. What are you going to do? They are really starting to almost tower over the roof. Is there going to be any decision on maybe topping those or just going to let them go?
Just going to let them go.
Yeah.
Just going to let them go. They've been here. They've been here since the church was built, and I can't tell you what year that was, but there have been a few places where, you know, an arborvitae has a number of limbs coming up from it, and we've lost a couple of the limbs, so there's bare spaces, but it seems like when you lose a branch, the others kind to move a little bit and they end up filling in. So
well, especially in this wind, and I would say too, as we're going through the garden, we're going to take a little bit of a walk here. There's also some arbors and a couple of benches, and we're going to make our way over to another area here where there is a wonderful stand of clematis. And tell us a little bit about this, another point in the storm for us to, and we've also got some sunflowers that are waving in the breeze. But this is a wonderful thing, and it comes back every year. Do you trim this?
Well, yes, actually I do. I cut it down to the ground every year. I pull it all off the trellis and I cut it down to the ground, and every year it comes up, covers over the top. Is it autumn, spring, or spring autumn? Which one is it? Autumn, spring, spring, autumn. It's one or the other. Anyway, it's supposed to bloom in September, but the last couple of years it has bloomed the beginning of August, which is very strange for it. But it covers the trellises and it's beautiful. It will be covered with little white blooms, and the hummingbirds love it, and the bees love it.
The sweet autumn?
Sweet autumn. Thank you very much. Sweet autumn.
It'll come back to me. I know some of these hydrangeas, too, like you said, are about 6 feet tall, and they're kind of built in rings as well. So you've got, it kind of slopes up, and then it goes down, and then it builds up again. Yep. In the very back, you've got the tallest things, of course. But and in this wind, I'm sure it's probably a testament to keeping them so that they don't just blow over.
Actually, when we've got the trellises standing here, you can see that they have now got the what kind of posts?
T-bars.
They've got the T-bar posts holding them up.
Yeah.
Because more than once we've had to come over and pick them up from the ground and restake them and put them in. Mm-hmm. So you just can't rely on the little stakes that comes with the trellis.
No. And I think secure everything. Yeah. And also the foliage is going to grow around them. You won't even see them.
No, you don't. And you didn't mention we have the Korean lilacs in the back there. Those were all volunteers from my house, and we've got them all over the property here. And this was the first year that they bloomed. They have a big white plume in them, the bloom in the spring, and they are so heavenly scented that you sit out here in the garden, it's almost too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. The smell is, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is, but you've got the space for it to kind of waft away. Now, do you have any traditional roses in this garden?
We did. The pastor's wife, who passed away, who's a garden this is the memory of, her name was Rosa. So there was four rose bushes in here. I lost my last one this spring, and so we will be planting in some new ones for Rosa.
So it's difficult, too, to find the perfect environment for each kind of plant that's in here. But I also noticed that you've got some of the traditional evergreens or things that we'll sit there. And we're going to move into underneath the gazebo here. We've got a perfect autumn day. Once again, talking with Jan Meyer from Jan's Gazebo Garden, and we're over at her church that she started as a love project between probably 7 or 8 years ago. And what do you see as the future for this? I know so many people take pride in it and enjoy it so much, but do What do you see as the future for this?
What is for the future?
Any new additions or anything that you think maybe no longer works here or has gotten overgrown and you're going to take out?
We have got some beautiful rose bushes that I have laid down the branches and started new bushes. So now there's about 8 new bushes in here, and those are going to be planted around the outside. As we sit here in the gazebo, you can hear the noise from the road. You can hear the noise from the road, but... So there will be bushes along the outside that will contain the garden a little bit more.
Because it truly is a sanctuary. And as you say, so many people have come off the highway, seen this beautiful place over here, and know that it's a welcoming spot for them to visit and walk through and enjoy.
Yep, it's just, it makes you feel good just to sit out here. It makes you feel good just to sit out here.
And that's what a garden should do. Yep. I can't believe it. We've already gone through another show with you. Thank you for a fall visit to this wonderful place here in Sherburn, Minnesota. And as we go through the seasons, I hope that you will take time to sit in a garden, listen to whatever sounds come your way. They may be from a neighborhood. They may be from the local cows in the pasture next to. They may be from the highway, as it is here. But take time to enjoy the garden, because it will be white before long.
Can I make just an end? I noticed in the cement here, this was established in 2017, is when Rosa died, 2017. And I would also like to add that anybody who is even starting to think about having a garden, you just have no idea how much pleasure a garden will give you. It's peaceful. It keeps your mind off of maybe other things. It's just a peaceful thing to do. So if you're even considering starting a garden, please start one.
And that truly is our best advice. We hope that you've enjoyed this week's version of In the Garden with Kelly and Char. We'll see you next Wednesday. Bye-bye now.
And picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, 'cause the time is close at hand.
Time is close at hand.